God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
I love it when God goes to work and we can see the results. This is Pastor Larry. Thank you for tuning in to your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Church. You know, friends, every Christian is a work in progress. You have a story to tell. I think it is wonderful when Christians share their testimony with a friend or an acquaintance. I found that people like testimonies. Sometimes people will say, well, I'm glad it works for you, or I'm glad you believe the Bible, but I just can't believe the Bible. When they tell you that, don't give up. I know postmodernists today speak about your truth and my truth. I'm glad that you have found God, but I'm still looking, and so on. When they say that, you can respond with, well, it may work for you too. Then they will say, well, Christians are narrow-minded, or a Christian sold me a used car that is really a lemon. I was cheated by a Christian. Just respond and say, just because the person who calls himself a Christian cheated you does not mean that he or she was a true Christian, and it certainly doesn't mean that Jesus Christ approves of what they did. You can have a lot of fun talking to people about the Lord. Don't get pushy, don't get angry, and make sure you are well prayed up. Never pass up an opportunity to talk about Jesus. We're honored to have Dr. Robert Jeffress on the show. He is the pastor of the First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas. We're going to be talking about his new book, Praying for America, 40 Inspiring Stories and Prayers for Our Nation. I'm so thankful and grateful for our president, Donald Trump. He's opened America's churches and said, in America, we need more prayer, not less. Thank you so much, Dr. Jeffress, for taking time out from your busy schedule and being on the show.
Great to be with you, Larry. Thanks for having me.
I don't know about you, but I am so encouraged by our president. He said some governors have deemed the liquor stores and abortion clinics as essential, but have left out churches and other houses of worship. It's not right, close quotes. I believe that the Lord is giving us a reprieve, an open door. If we don't devote ourselves to prayer, what excuse can we give?
Well, that's right. In fact, he said that at a press conference Friday in which he called out these governors who are keeping churches shut while allowing liquor stores and abortion clinics to remain open. And after he made that pronouncement, he called me to talk about it. And I thanked him for having the guts to stand up for Christians everywhere. And you know, Larry, I know this isn't the purpose of our call, but I think he was right when he said, America needs more prayer, not less prayer. Whatever you think of President Trump, I think one of the great ironies of history is going to be that it was a secular New York billionaire who became the most pro-Christian president in history. It's just an amazing thing when you think about it.
Absolutely. I agree. In fact, I interviewed Steve Strang the other day on his new book, God, Donald Trump, and COVID-19. And it's so amazing how our president has really stood with God, has followed through on so many things, and has done such an amazing job with a situation that, you know, we've never faced before. And yet the left is just jumping on him and blaming everything for him. And he's just done a tremendous job.
Well, I think he has. And this came out of left field, you know. But I just believe that we need to be praying for our president, regardless of how you vote. We all need to be praying for him. And yes, I would be saying the same thing if Barack Obama were still president or Hillary Clinton. The fact is, 1 Timothy 2 encourages us to pray for all of those who are in authority. And we ought to pray for wisdom for them as they make these very difficult decisions. And that's really, Larry, why I wrote Praying for America. I mean, I believe the most patriotic thing a Christian can do for the country we love is to pray for the country we love. And God promises to answer if we are bold enough to ask.
I think that's so true. God's people, and especially pastors. Many years ago, I was pastoring a church in Tennessee. We had a lay-led revival. And a group had come from First Baptist Church of Atlanta and a few other churches in Atlanta. And one of the deacons who served with Dr. Stanley invited me and my family to Atlanta, my wife and my daughter, to stay with them and to visit Dr. Stanley's study. Right next to the study was a small room that had virtually nothing in it but a Bible and a fluffy carpet. No chairs, no desk, no nothing. And the deacon said, "This is where Dr. Stanley prays." And at that time, I was a young pastor, but that made a big impression on me. I think there are a lot of pastors who have canned sermons, and, you know, they may say a little ditty for a prayer, and then out they go to the pulpit. But I think prayer is so important for pastors, for deacons, elders, for everybody.
Well, it is. And, you know, I talk about American history and how this country's history has been bathed in prayer, and I actually share 40 inspiring stories about where faith has made a difference in the destiny of our country. But, you know, Abraham Lincoln, for all of his strengths, he said one thing I have to disagree with a little bit. He said that prayer is America's last best hope. Well, I think that's the problem with a lot of us. You know, we adopt the motto, when all else fails, pray. But it's not the last best hope. It's America's first best hope. And that's why the scripture encourages us to turn to God. You know, there are many things we can do after we have prayed. Prayer alone isn't the only thing we can do. There are many things we can do about a situation after we have prayed, but there's nothing of importance we can do until we have prayed. And one of the things, Larry, we've encouraged people to do, we called it the 401 Challenge, and we encouraged people to pray for 40 days at 4:01 in the afternoon every day. Just take a moment and to pray for an end to this pandemic. You say, well, why 4:01 p.m.? Well, we based it on Psalm 4:1, in which God encourages us to cry out to him in our times of desperation. And look, I'm one of those who actually believes this pandemic is for real. I think the effects are real. We've got 36 million people who've lost their jobs. Their families under pressure right now. And we try everything in the world except the first thing we should do, and that is to pray.
Every chapter is excellent, but your chapter 9, for Christians to answer God's call to lead. And you speak about Mike Huckabee. He saw up close and personal how grand government policies written hundreds of miles away affected ordinary Americans in their everyday lives. I think one of the church's weaknesses today is that we stay out of politics. We don't touch, you know, political issues from the pulpit. But I think you're absolutely right. Christians need to answer God's call to lead. We need to get involved. If we stay out of politics and then we say politics is so dirty, well, guess why? There's no Christians in it. So.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Larry, I think you'll agree with us. None of us is as pure as we think we are. We're not going to get tainted by politics and ruin our otherwise perfect record of righteousness. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. And look, you know, Jesus used the analogy of our being salt and light in this decaying and darkening world. And, you know, salt in Jesus' day was a preservative. There was no refrigeration. Salt had a way not of preventing the decay of meat, but at least delaying the decay of the meat. It gave the meat a longer shelf life. But for the salt to do its job, it couldn't stay in the container. The salt has to get out of the container and penetrate the meat. And it's the same for us as Christians. We can't stay in our holy huddles in the salt shaker, as it were, the church. We've got to get out into every area of society, Wall Street, Hollywood, and yes, Washington, D.C.
Amen. Well, chapter 34, you actually speak about praying for courageous pastors. And so, you know, influenced by the Great Awakening, these pastors did not shy away from applying God's word to current events. And of course, there are a lot of moral issues that pastors can and should deal with. But the moment a moral issue becomes, quote, a political issue, pastors are afraid to deal with the issue. That's so unfortunate. You know, they can preach on a lot of things, but as soon as they're talking about it and the Democrats and the Republicans disagree about it, becomes political, and we don't want to go there.
Yeah, and you know, the great example of that is certainly the sanctity of life. Look, that is, first of all, a spiritual issue. God created life. Only God has the right to take a life. It's a moral issue. I mean, to rip a baby out of the mother's womb while it's in the birth canal right before birth, I mean, that's not only wrong, that is barbaric. And yes, it's a political issue as well. You know, this idea that Christians stay out of politics is so foreign to Scripture. That word politics comes from a Latin word that means to influence. when you say Christians shouldn't get involved in politics, what you're saying is Christians shouldn't try to influence the culture in which they live. I mean, who can say that with a straight face and believe it? We're called to influence the world in which we live.
One of the things I like about President Trump is that when he spoke about opening churches, he also said houses of worship, and he included synagogues and mosques, and I think he's absolutely right. We cannot leave God out of the picture, and however a person may pray or whatever, I think we have a wonderful, wonderful privilege, religious liberty. What a blessing that is.
Well, it is, and we celebrate that. I mean, you know, everybody has the right to be wrong. To me, that's what tolerance says. Everybody should have the right to be wrong. There's only one way to God. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. Just because we are tolerant of other religions doesn't mean we believe all religions are equally valid. But we do believe our forefathers gave their life's blood to ensure everyone could make that decision and experience the consequences for himself or herself.
I know in reading someone like Alex Solzhenitsyn, he had been incarcerated, went to Siberia, and I think it was all started because he made some indirect references in a private correspondence to a friend. Everybody knew he was talking about Joseph Stalin. But Solzhenitsyn said he had been studying history for 40 or 50 years, and he wondered why Russia was in such a horrendous condition. And he concluded with this. He said, "We have forsaken God. That's why this has happened to us." And I think when we look at America, basically so many people, we have a major party, the Democratic Party, and their DNC, August 24th, I believe it was, in 2019 in San Francisco, they're actually proud that they were appealing to secularists and atheists. And that's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, they made a telling comment. In fact, I remember being on Fox talking about it right after it happened. They said, "We are no longer going to go after the religious vote. We are going to go after the religiously unaffiliated." And they said, "Our values more align with the non-religious, the religiously unaffiliated, than with faith voters." I thought that was quite an admission. That they realize they are out of sync with faith voters and they're going to write them off. I mean, the fact is, I mean, it has not always been this way, and I'm sure some of your listeners are maybe lifelong Democrats, but it's like Ronald Reagan said, he didn't leave the Democrat Party, the Democrat Party left him. And if you look at their issues and their platform, they are on the wrong side of God on so many issues, whether it's religious liberty, whether it's the right to life, whether it is Israel. I mean, they are on the wrong side of God. And look, I am not Larry. I do not identify as a Republican or a Democrat. I'm an independent voter who votes for a candidate based on who lines up closest with the teaching of Scripture. And I really think every Christian ought to vote that way.
I agree with you. We have a tremendous privilege, but also a tremendous responsibility. And I've heard so many Christians say from time to time, "Well, we'll let the other guy vote." And that's why so many times when, well, like in Oklahoma with the marijuana thing, you know, our state, Oklahoma, is pretty conservative. And yet we've got marijuana. I live in the country and there are marijuana stores everywhere. And what I noticed is that the Christians and the conservatives kind of stayed home. And those who want to smoke marijuana, they came out in droves. And guess what? We've got marijuana now. I mean, I live in the country and we see these little dispensaries with the marijuana leaves come in and smoke or whatever. That's what happens when we stay away from the polls.
Well, that's right. And remember, in biblical times, whether it was in the Old Testament or the New Testament, the people didn't get to choose their king. It was the king who determined the spiritual direction of the nation. But God has given us the privilege, John Jay said, of choosing our leaders. And Larry, every time we go into the voting booth, we are casting a vote for righteousness or for unrighteousness. And when we sit at home, we're saying, "I don't give a you-know-what about the direction of our country."
I think we have been so spoiled. We think everything's going to be okay no matter who becomes president or mayor or governor. But the way the country is so sharply divided now, If we don't get the right man or the right person, the right man or woman in office, and even for less or under the president, this is going to be a major problem. I mean, never. I remember 20 years ago, if you voted Republican and got a Democrat, it wasn't really a disaster. But today it would be a major break. I mean, we would be in the middle of a war.
Oh, I believe if the left ever regains control of this country again, they are coming after Christians like you and me, not incrementally, but intensively. There is going to be a wholesale war on people of faith. I believe that with all of my heart.
Well, I've seen the way Lori Lightfoot, for example, in Chicago, just harassing, even arresting black pastors. I mean, you know, she's winning a lot of black Christians for President Trump. She's been so heavy-handed, and that's under the Trump administration. Can you imagine what that would be like if we had a Democrat president? It would be awful.
Oh, listen, in Chicago, they've issued summary abatements against two churches, which means they have the power to close those churches or even demolish them without due process. I mean, that is unthinkable in a country like the United States of America, but that is where the left is going.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jeffers. It's always a blessing to have you on. We are looking forward to doing another program with you.
Well, I will too. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Friends, Dr. Robert Jeffers will be back with us for our next broadcast. You will certainly want to get his new book. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get Dr. Jeffers' book, Praying for America.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our very special offer today is the brand new book by Pastor Robert Jeffress titled Praying for America. I don't know about you, but it couldn't have come at a better time. You can have a copy for a gift of $22 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To get yours, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. You can always order online on our website at swrc.com. While you are there, take a look around at our special offers and videos. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Every human being is valuable. The pain of losing a family member can yield deep scars that last a lifetime. We must never diminish the effects of the coronavirus and the negative impact it has had on the well-being of countless numbers of people. However, the CDC has come out with data for the year 2017 that can help us put COVID-19 into perspective. In the United States, as of June the 2nd, there were 1,852,381 confirmed cases of the coronavirus, 106,832 deaths, and 412,510 individuals who recovered.
In 2017, the CDC reports that there were 647,457 people who died from heart disease, 599,108 who died from cancer. However, Dr. Mark Sherwood, MD, in his web article, Hidden Roots of Sickness, writes, quote, "We would be remiss if we did not factor into our broad perspective the elephant in the room, lifestyle. It is inarguably true that the standard American diet / lifestyle plays a huge role in many of the causes of deaths listed above."
Well, that's right, Marvin. Dr. Sherwood writes that any population that increases consumption of refined sugars, chemically altered highly processed foods, and trans fats decreases activity and movement, decreases sleep quality and duration, and chronically discusses and lives in fear will have less perfect immune systems and higher disease prevalence. The diseases then become the comorbidities that affect the mortality rate for viruses like the coronavirus. In other words, a good percentage of the deaths is avoidable and reversible by simply avoiding the standard American diet and lifestyle.
Dr. Sherwood said that the biggest things that are not being addressed are twofold. First, why are we avoiding our personal responsibility? our lifestyle has eroded to whatever is fast, quick, and convenient, instead of being thoughtful and prepared. The consequences of our own action and inaction are now being revealed. The coronavirus, though tragic, has revealed a weakness in our current state of health. Instead of addressing our societal failures of lifestyle, we have avoided the subject altogether. The second point is really important.
Yes, that's right. Dr. Sherwood asked, why are we not mentioning that many more people will die from lifestyle choices than from the coronavirus? The doctor says that America has mastered the worldwide exportation of its unhealthy lifestyle to the world. On top of this, we have the most astronomical increase of obesity with co-conditions the world has ever seen, with no sign of slowing. Dr. Sherwood believes we cannot have the opportunity to experience a full life if we continue to self-sabotage with poor lifestyle, allow hijacked fear-based narratives to control us, and forget how to think and reason for ourselves. And I think the good doctor is right on target.
Gentlemen, I found this item on theblaze.com. Only in California can this kind of thinking be the norm. I hope. California Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom told CNN's Jake Tapper on Sunday, May 17th, that if his state doesn't receive federal financial assistance, the first responders will be the first government employees to get laid off. House Democrats passed a $3 trillion relief bill last week, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said the bill is dead on arrival in the Senate. The bill includes $500 billion for state governments and $375 billion for local governments. Newsom said California was running a $21.5 billion surplus a year ago, but now has a $54.3 billion deficit because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you explain what you think will happen to California if the federal government doesn't give you the money to help you out? Tapper asked Newsom. I hope they'll consider this the next time they want to salute and celebrate our heroes, the first responders. Our police officers and firefighters, consider the fact that they are the first ones who will be laid off by cities and counties, Newsom responded. The folks who are out there, the true heroes of this pandemic, are health care workers and nurses. Those county health systems have been ravaged. Their budgets have been devastated and depleted. The budget counts depleted since the pandemic. They're the first ones to be laid off. So we've got to square our rhetoric with the reality, end of quote. Newsom announced that counties could begin easing lockdown restrictions if they have 25 or fewer cases per 100,000 residents, or no higher than an 8% positive rate among those who were tested for COVID-19. Counties that meet those standards can look to reopen restaurants for sit-down service and allow people to shop in retail stores. It could be weeks before another coronavirus-related relief bill is passed by Congress, if one passes at all. The Senate has no plans to produce an alternative bill to the Democrats' package before the Memorial Day recess. It's hard to imagine the thought process involved here. Surely there are government employees who are paid higher salaries that are considerably less essential, maybe starting with the governor himself.
The Hebrides revival on the island of Lewis was a mighty work of God. It occurred when the all-consuming presence of the Lord came into his church. Revival is God's arrival. It is when the King of Kings enters a community and is allowed to inhabit his throne with absolute authority. It is the moment when you become alive in God and he becomes real to you. That is something altogether different from what we usually think or imagine about revival.
That's right, Pastor Larry. As we have been preparing these talks on the Hebrides revival, I have come to see that our view of God is too small. Were God to manifest himself before you and expose you to the fullness of his glory, it would be both life-altering and life-ending, for no man can see God and live. Our God is an all-consuming fire and dwells in unapproachable light.
Well, you know, Marvin, during the revival on the islands, the whole of the islands were awakened at once to this reality of God. The God of heaven came down and rested upon the islands. Men and women found themselves drawn to him. They responded to his drawing, and once in his presence, they became painfully aware of how great God was and how far away from him they are. That realization transformed everything, not just for the individual, but for the whole community.
Did Peggy and Christine Smith know what they were asking for when they began praying for revival? I can't imagine they could have. They wanted to see their church changed, but when God came, everything changed. So we have to ask, do we really want revival? Revival is costly, and it changes everything. When God arrives, he upends and usurps our agendas. Our schedules will be inconvenienced, and our selfish desires will become inconsequential.
So we must ask, is this what we really want? Is it not far more convenient to pray for growth in our churches than to relinquish control of his church? Marvin, is it not easier to pray for the salvation of a loved one than it is to allow God full use of our voice to share the message of salvation with them? Is it not far more convenient to pray for God to bless the poor than it is to sell all we have and give to them and totally relinquish control of his church? That's what we need to do for revival. So the real issue is, will we? God is waiting on us. God wants to bring revival. How about you? How about me?
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our very special offer today is the brand new book by Pastor Robert Jeffress titled Praying for America. I don't know about you, but it couldn't have come at a better time. You can have a copy for a gift of $22 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To get yours, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. You can always order online on our website at swrc.com. While you are there, take a look around at our special offers and videos.
You say you don't have a credit card, but you would prefer ordering by phone? That's no problem. We have Check by Phone. You can use your checkbook the same as a credit card. All we need is the information on the check, and you're done. We'll get that order in the mail. Call us at 1-800-652-1144 and talk to one of our operators in the call center. They will be happy to help you.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Pastor Jeffress wrap up this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.